Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Excited for our guests today because we have, their book is...
Everybody Fights.
Yeah.
So why not get better at it?
But it's interesting. It's just, yeah, it's an overall like interesting topic because I had posted that thing on social media, kind of like talking about, you know, how it can be hard at times and fights happen and they stink. But, you know, I sometimes take photos to remember that even though in that moment it feels like the end of the world, it's not really, like once mm-hmm. you get out of it. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because so many people have DM'd me and said, like, if you're so unhappy, why stay in your relationship? And I'm like, it has nothing to do with unhappiness. Like, I may look unhappy mm-hmm. at times, like, you know, because maybe we're fighting or, but it's not a general unhappiness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I think if it's every day and more times than not, then yeah, like, I think you need to look inside and be like, am I really happy? Like, is this relationship serving me? Am I my best version right now? Mm-hmm. You know, is this a constant thing? But I think so many times, you know, when we have arguments or disagreements, it can feel like the end of the world. And it can feel, you know, for mostly just like for me, or, you know, it's very like, I think it's one or the other. But I don't think it's I don't think I'm unhappy, you know? Well, I know I'm not unhappy.
I'm like, huh?
No, but I mean, I know.
I don't think I'm unhappy.
But... No, but I mean, you know, like I've written down, because at times, like, it does feel like this is too hard and we fight and this and that. So, you know, I started writing down, and that's been like a helpful tool for me because it's like, okay, it's not every day. Has it been a little bit more consistent lately? Yeah. And I don't like that. Mm-hmm. But if that continues on like that for the entire year, then that's when you go, okay, like maybe I am more times than not unhappy, but that's not the reality in this moment. Like, more times than not, I'm happy. We're happy. We're good. You know, I think with Canada and the movie and, you know, it was a little bit more frequent, but, and then I think if that stays that way, then that's when you have to, yeah, maybe evaluate your relationship, but that's not, but it's also like seasons, like people go through things. And you have to kind of look at it as like, is this all the time or is this just a few times? Because I think a few times is normal, just like the book, like everyone fights, like everyone has fights and disagreements and underlying, you know, resentments or like, it's just about how to like fight better. And like, you know, we talk about in our book, like the good fights about fighting for each other, not against each other. Mm-hmm. But I just like, I don't know, that kind of just kind of struck me weird because I'm like, like, if you're so unhappy, I was like, where did I say I was unhappy?
Right.
Like, I know sometimes, like, we may be sad, but it's like, aren't we all unhappy at times? Or is it just me?
No, everybody is. And I think, you know, there's levels of this in our situation, you know, too, right? It's for some relationships that don't have a traumatic history like we do, you know, their fights might not carry as much weight because of there might not be past triggers and a bigger pain that comes up underneath of something. So I think that's a big part of it for our situation where, you know, small fights can turn into something bigger because of the things that we've been through in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And then I also think it's a personality thing too. I think some people are just more inclined to, you know, have that feeling. Not that it's negative or positive, just some people are just kind of that way, and you've been more of one of those people to kind of be that way, of where it just feels like the weight of the world at times.
Yeah. And I think that is because of our past, because I'm like, I don't want to have to like struggle mm-hmm. all the time, you know what I mean?
No, for
like
sure.
I don't want it to be like this heavy, and it shouldn't be, you know, but unfortunately with our past, it's like we're way better than we were, for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's like, sometimes it's just like, you know, I don't want to like be I don't want this to always feel so heavy when we just have a simple argument.
Right.
You know? And I think that's, like you said, it's just our situation's a little bit, you know, walking through that. And, but I mean, obviously we're like way better than it used to be, but I think just the underlying question of it all is this, you know, I think you can look at your relationship and know, and I was just talking to a girlfriend about this today on a walk. It's, you have to kind of just almost, yeah, like write it out and be like, because in the moment it feels so like, oh, I'm so unhappy. Well, yeah, I'm unhappy right now because either I'm not getting one of my needs met or you're not getting one of your needs met.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean like throw the towel in, this is over and it's terrible that we're fighting. It's like, no, okay, someone's needs aren't getting met. Let's communicate and grow together and get stronger. Now, the problem where unhappiness, I think, becomes a thing is when there's just no love left to continue to fight together.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they say, like, apathy is the killer.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as someone's apathetic and just doesn't give a shit anymore, that's when you know. And I think it's interesting, too, because, you know, that book that we had been reading and we're going to get back into now that we're back from Canada, The Vertical Marriage with Dave and Ann Wilson, that we're going to try to have them on here in the near future. But in that book, it says something that you and I related to where she was talking, they're talking about a situation and how Ann was saying she didn't feel chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the smallest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to Dave, to the man, he was just like, well, you said yes to me on our wedding day. That's like enough for me.
Mm.
You know, so I know that's kind of how I feel at times. It's easier for me to be optimistic, not only from our past, right? Because I'm the perpetrator. So obviously I just want to think of the positive. And then I think too, it's just something in me as a man where I'm just like, I'm being sober minded too. I'm like, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to our marriage and making it work. We're going to have good days, bad days, good phases, bad phases, but I'm in it. Like I'm in it for life. And granted, yeah, I mean, we have to grow and fight for each other and do other things in between. I don't mean to make it sound simplistic. Cause it's not easy. It's simple in theory, but it's not easy, but it's just, you know, I don't know. People are different, handle things, different situations. And I totally understand like how at times you feel a heavier weight than maybe I do.
What do you mean?
Meaning because of your personality, because of the trauma that I've put you through, it being more understandable for you to have that mindset of like, fuck, in this moment, I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like it's harder for you to see that than me. Is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I'm sure a lot of relationships are like that. Even if there isn't a traumatic thing, just based on their personality, it might be easier for one or simpler for one to see the light at the end of that tunnel, of that fight, than the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is important because if both people are just, what's the point? Why I can't do this?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not going to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. But yeah, I mean, that's. It's a bummer that people would just, I mean, I can understand why people would see your posts and just make up that you're saying you're not happy.
Yeah. Cause I was like, no, I never said anywhere that I wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, it's.
You said, I think I'm happy.
No, I said, you know, it's people fight. No relationship is perfect, even though it looks like it on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, someone noticed that we weren't sleeping in the same bed and Canada. It's like, okay, this is doesn't mean that we're unhappy. It's just we have things that, like any other relationship, that we need to continue to grow and get better at and communicate better and, you know, listen to what we talk about in our own book. And
mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that's, yeah, it's just almost like, because everybody does fight.
Mm-hmm.
And some are just a little heavier and maybe weigh a little bit deeper, but a fight is a fight. And, you know.
Yeah. And my thing is like, you know, what I tell you a lot of times when we're back on the mend, like after a rough patch, is like, there's no one else in this world I'd rather go through this with than you. Right. Like go through life together. And that's like, the end of the day, that's my thing. It's like, it's going to be the same if it's with somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
But so I'd rather do it with you because I love you and I want to do it with you.
Well, and that's kind of like what my girlfriend and I were saying. Like, if the love is still there and two people, like we even talked about in our book, like two people are willing to work and fight at it, like then it, you can continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But when the love is gone too, that's just.
Oh yeah. Then that's tough.
But yeah, I mean, I think you have to figure out what you want for yourself and look at it. Because if I was unhappy, like I don't want, like I have a friend who is in a marriage that's not happy. He's not changing. He's not willing to really change. And it's like, and I look at her and I'm like, I don't want to spend, you know, I'm going to be 40 in the next few years. I don't want to spend the next 40 fighting so hard for this and like have my happiness be in doubt, you know, like I don't want my kids to see that. Like I want the next.
You don't want to sacrifice your happiness.
Yeah. I don't want to sacrifice it. And I don't, I'm like, I don't want to, if it's not going in the direction of stronger, healthier, growing, you know, happiness, like what's the, like, then I'm like, I agree with people that, you know, like, then what is the point?
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I don't want to spend the next 40 miserable and unhappy and being with someone that doesn't want to change, doesn't want to grow, doesn't want to work on things. But it's like, that's not what's happening. What's happening is we are fighting and we're learning and we're growing and we can still be happy and still have fights. And I think that's what's so great about, you know, our book, their book, Everyone Fights.
Yeah.
Because there's ways to realize that it's okay.
Deal with it.
What?
Listeners.
What?
And yeah, we fight, deal with it.
Yeah, no, they know. They're subscribed.
I know. Well, let's take a break and get Kim and Penn on here and let's talk everything fights and their book and how they work through it.
Okay. Friends,
what's
hi.
Happening?
How are you guys? I'm Jana, and this is my husband, Mike.
Hello, hello.
We know who you are. I'm Kim, and this is Penn.
Hey guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm excited to talk to you because last week we talked about some kind of fights that we were having while we were essentially re-quarantining because we were in Vancouver for 6 weeks, and I remember getting the breakdown and being like, oh, yes, I cannot wait to talk to you because you have a book. It's called Everybody Fights. And, you know, someone had asked me, it's like, oh, I noticed like Mike wasn't sleeping in the bed, you know, while a few nights while you were in Canada. And I'm like, look, it's just sometimes we fight, you know, and I'm like, and that's OK. But I just want to, how long have you guys been married for?
We've been married for, going to make me do some math here. 16 years he cheated, 16 years. And we believe you don't have like that whole rule, like don't go to bed angry. No, we go to bed angry sometimes because, and you know, like people have FOMO. I have like FOMS, like instead of fear of missing out, I have a fear of missing sleep. So I'd rather get to sleep well, wake up refreshed, and then we can hash it out.
Wait, but Kim, you just kind of like dropped a bomb though. Like you just said, what? It's been 16 years since he cheated.
No.
Oh.
He cheated, like getting the number.
No. Oh. I was like,
I whispered her the number.
Okay.
That's how rumors start right there, honey.
This is exclusive.
No, I heard it too. And I was like, maybe that'll just keep on going.
But, no. I hear everything. That's my husband.
Sorry about that. Oops.
But it's great because your tagline is why not get better at it? So how do you guys fight better?
The start of it is we talk about the fights. The term that we use in the book is metacommunicating. We take kind of a step back and we Monday morning quarterback it, if you will. We kind of talk about it after it's over. We're at the point now where we talk about it while it's going on, because there are a lot of things that happen to your brain and your body during fights that you can't control, and it causes you to do stupid crap all the time. And we've kind of learned what those things are. And once we see them coming, we take a little bit of a beat, we de-escalate and we come back when our, you know, when our nervous system isn't completely haywire.
Well, and I do believe you know how to hurt your partner. Like, you know exactly how you can hurt your person, right? Mm-hmm. You know the very specific ways their Achilles heel in which you can torture them. So don't do it. Mm-hmm. And we know now how to zoom out that talking about the fight is, if you've solved the fight, let's say that, like, you have to come to resolution. But if you can zoom out, and that's when we recognize, like, any fight that started at 10 o'clock at night for me, because I go to bed early, because I wake up super early, that's not going to end well. So we just don't do it. Like, so if something comes up at night, I'm like, you know what? Look, we're going to work this out tomorrow. And if that means he sleeps in the guest room, like, we do that too. Mm-hmm. Like, we've done that a few times. We know that after a couple glasses of wine, nothing is going to get solved. So we don't do that. So now we just don't engage. Like, we have these, like, peacetime conversations or wartime conversations.
I mean, I think we sometimes do still engage. We just have to, once we realize we're engaging, we're like, okay, we got to do this some other time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you talked about sleeping in separate rooms on that trip. That happens sometimes. And it's, I think that's better than fighting when you're tired and drunk and hungry.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Hungry for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, all of the above. How long, so you guys have been together 16 years. At what point in your marriage and relationship were you like, okay, we need to start doing this different?
We went to counseling. Yeah. I think it was really when we started working together.
Yeah.
So about 2014, yeah, something like that. And I think our marriage was fine. Our marriage was good. We weren't calling the divorce lawyer. It was fine. You know what I mean? But we knew it could have been better. And then we kind of, like, pour gasoline on the fire. We start working together. So when you are in each other's faces all day, raising kids together, living together, and then trying to be married to each other, it was rough.
We didn't have boundaries. We work just kind of steamrolled all the way into the night and in the morning. Mm-hmm. And to make it worse, I mean, Michael, I don't know. Maybe locker room talk was different when you were in the NFL than it is when you go home. My job before Kim, I wasn't in a locker room. I was in a newsroom. And I'm telling you, it might be more foul and abrasive than an NFL locker
probably
room.
Probably.
The way that people talk in newsrooms. And I just thought that was how people talked when they work. I had done that for 15 years. And then I went to work with Kim and she called me out on it. She's like, you're talking to me like...
It was borderline abusive. I mean,
it was kind of stuff I picked up from my dad and also people in the newsroom, like a lot of passive aggressiveness. And just, looking back on myself, I'm not proud, mm-hmm. but that was one of the early stressors was I talked down to her and I talked abrasively to her.
I never knew that part of him because as a husband, he was great. Like, it was fine. But then displayed.
Well, Melanie and I talk to each other like that all the time. Like
his work wife.
Yeah, it's so crazy. So, like, we talk to each other that way. And then that was kind of how it started.
Yeah, no, I can kind of relate to you on that thing because, like, one of our big fights that we got into in Canada was he brought up a work idea. And when we talk work, I don't remember him as my husband or my friend. I go into business mode. I go into Kris Jenner. I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, I think, like, you know, we should only do this many amounts. And, like, and I just go and I don't think about feelings. I'm nice, but I just, like, I'm very direct with my, like, my words.
Yeah.
And he takes it as, because, like, he'll get upset if I say, like, hey, where are you going? If I don't put, like, where are you going, babe? Like a softer tone, or even though I mean no maliciousness.
Or what are you doing? I'm doing work. Well, what kind of work?
But, like, he gets so, like, annoyed. So it's like, I have to always, like, sugarcoat it a little bit. And when I'm talking about work, it's very hard for me to sugarcoat work. And so it was something where it's like, I have to, like, remember in those conversations, like, oh, yes, he's still my work partner, but he's also my husband. And I need to, like, be a little softer with, like, my tone, I guess. And I have to be like, I have to throw in a baby or, like, something.
A baby, well, a little baby, a little honey goes a long way, sweetie.
I feel that. And I feel like we've had that issue before in that sometimes, like, a lot of the ideas for our silly videos will come out of my head. And then Penn does the magic and goes into the magic song room and makes a song about it or something like that. But sometimes I'll say stuff and he's just not listening. And then when like another person says it, it's a brilliant idea. So it's that same, and then, or I'll have an idea and we call it like duck hunting or what, or like what, a clay pigeon or whatever. You like and just shoot it out of the sky. And so I'll have an idea and he'll just do the,
you do the same thing.
But we actually wrote about it in the book. Yeah. One thing I put out like this big scary idea that I wanted to, like we wrote about in the book, because I had this big scary idea. I felt like we should write a Broadway musical. By the way, it takes like 20 years to get a musical on Broadway. It is the most like scariest, weirdest thing ever, right? And so you say it out loud and you say it to your partner. And then so his business hat goes on, right? Just like you were talking. And his response was, "Is that the best use of your time?" And I was like, oh.
Now I don't say that mean.
I don't know. You and Penn sound a lot alike now.
No, I would just be like, no. I just think there's, I wouldn't say it like, cause that's what I would love to say, but I've learned like, and so I'm better than Penn on that note. I'm a little
softer. He learned. And then I didn't handle it well. Cause I got out of a moving car and walked home. And so I didn't handle that well, but literally like we took that fight to our counselor and like we talked about it that way. So we've both learned a lot. We learned a lot from counseling. We learned a lot from writing this book. Mm-hmm. So yeah, being married.
Have you ever had something where you're just like, I just don't know if like I can continue on this journey where it's just too hard, or it's just, there's, you just don't see anything changing and you feel like you're just like beating your head up against the wall? Or is that just normal marriage feelings and thoughts?
I've had those micro feelings. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, like while I'm in the thick of an argument where I realize that I'm just not getting anywhere and we're going in the same space, there's this sort of grief and hopelessness that comes with that. Mm-hmm. And, I feel very lucky to say that it's never lasted more than a few moments. But I know that that does happen.
Yeah. And my parents got divorced and yeah. they were separated and back together and separated and back together before they got divorced, like my entire childhood. So I learned, and one of the things we learned about each other is like our fighting styles, and mine was what I saw modeled, right? Mm-hmm. Which was you just leave. So when Penn said, "Is that the best use of our time?" which is not what he meant, and it just came out really abrasively, instead of engaging, I literally got out of a moving car and left.
Yeah.
And so in the beginning and up until we went to therapy, my instinct was he says something that I don't agree with. I feel belittled. I feel stupid, and I leave. And so that is my instinct. So my instinct is to leave.
And it works on me because my biggest fear and the thing that hurts me the most is being alone or more simply just people not liking me. Like I'm one of those guys that needs everybody to like him. I'm sorry. I'm just going to call it like it is. Okay. And so, yeah. So, you know, that's where some of the hopelessness comes from. And what we're learning through a lot of this is, I still believe that was not the best use of her time. I will take that to
standing
my grave.
Standing by that, damn it.
No, she was doing like a billion things. We can talk about this now because we've de-escalated from the fight. She even admits she had taken on a lot of things. And the inside of my head was like, oh my God, she's taking on something else. We can't do any more of this. I'm not getting much sleep as it is. We're doing 1,000 things. But you should never answer a question that way in a demeaning way and project back on that person. That's invalidating their feelings. You should say back, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Here's what I feel. Mm-hmm. I didn't do any of those things.
Right.
I just kind of, you know, took the shotgun out and shot it down. So I could have gotten my opinion across and we would have been fine if I just found the right way to communicate it.
But to answer your question, like, were there moments? There's never been a moment personally, and I think Penn will say the same, where we were on the brink of not making it. But are there moments and flashes where all of my personal history comes up and I think, you know what, I'm packing the kids up and I'm heading out of town. Like I've had plenty of those moments because that's my instinct. So we've learned like, so now I have to do the work and sit my butt in the chair mm-hmm. and take a deep breath. And I have to sit there and I have to engage because that's what's hard for me. Mm-hmm. And then his, like he used to just like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Anything to just de-escalate, it's so hard. So now he has to sit his butt in the chair and say, no, that hurt my feelings. Like when you left me, that hurt my feelings. So we have to show up in different ways, but it was all about learning how our fighting styles.
Mm-hmm. How about when it came to working together? Obviously you guys do a million things together, but when it came to the book and you guys were sitting down and starting, it's like, okay, we're going to write a book. Let's do this. How was that process for you and with your working styles? Because I know for us, we work completely different. So it was a challenge to figure out that kind of dance, right? How was that for you guys?
Well, Kim was already very up for self-help, self-improvement, self-advancement.
I've read every book. I've read them all.
I do not read those books. I'm sorry. Like I had to read them a ton during research for this book. But I mean, we had to get over the initial hump, which was, I felt like everything was pretty good. I felt like we were doing okay. Like we were passing grades. Kim thought that we could be better. I thought that that meant that she was saying that she didn't like our marriage and that this whole thing was a failure. She had to reassure me of that. And then really we had to kind of find a really trusted person to come in and start talking to us. The guy who helped write the book with us, he's our church pastor, but he's also been a friend of mine for 20 years. And I mean, the process became very easy when he came in because he broke it down for me to data points and ones and zeros and things that you can and things that you can't do and what goes on in your brain, the way that I could understand it.
Yeah. And so let's be clear. He's the person that he specializes in like marriage counseling and marriage care. And he's the person that we went to. Mm-hmm. So we basically took the 10 fights and it worked best with like the 10 fights we think everybody has, which is like, we're not having enough sex. I do everything, you do nothing. You're spending too much money. Like those 10 fight topics. And then it became simpler.
No, that's all we thought about.
It became simpler when we figured out like, I'm going to write my part. He writes his part. And then an editor could kind of cuts and pastes the region.
And then Christopher says stuff. And then we do research.
Yeah. And then we did a bunch of research.
I'm so excited to read this.
I feel like it's just going to fall right into place for us.
Yeah.
The Audible's really good too. We had fun on the Audible. You'll like that one too.
I feel like it's similar where we have like, cause we wrote a book as well, where we kind of share both of our sides. And, you know, I feel like it's good that these books are coming out because I like when couples share their experiences from both sides, because it's both sides need to be heard. And I think that's where in even relationships, why we escalate is because we're just wanting to be heard, you know, and from wanting to be heard, we just escalate to the, you know, the worst degree.
That's 100% right. And I wonder, I'm curious if you guys had a similar response that I did, maybe one of you did or both of you did. We're public figures. We're on the internet all the time. Mm-hmm. We wrote the book. We put the pen down to paper and it felt okay. And then I had to read the Audible version of it. And some of the stuff was really deep. And it was like, I was so uncomfortable the first time I had to say it out loud.
It was like we were reading a diary entry. I'm like,
yeah, it was.
I can't believe you wrote this about our sex life. And now my mom's going to hear this.
Once I got over it, it was tough. But the first time it was crazy.
It was a lot.
Yeah, we had I had the same experience where we're sitting there in the studio kind of like this and we're sitting there reading it like back and forth, our parts, and I would just kind of sit back like, are we sure we really want to do this? Like the stuff that we're saying right now, like, is this going to be received the way we hope it's going to be received? Because it's good though. Like Jana's saying, it's like so many books before, you know, some of these like you guys are putting out, it's from one person on who's a clinical professional who, you know, acts like they have it all figured out and this is the steps to do it. But then, you know, they haven't gone through them themselves maybe. And so to hear from somebody like you guys, I know for us, it's going to be refreshing to hear y'all's words, to be like, man, we're not alone either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And don't you feel like, you know, when you're dating somebody, like you can talk to your girlfriends about like, oh, we got in a fight and every, you know, and you can talk about that. But as soon as you're married, there's this like veil of secrecy. Like we no longer talk about our relationships with people really. Mm-hmm. And then it was only when we kind of told our circle of friends, we were doing the research for this book and we were writing this book, that people confided in us about a lot of the issues they were having. And they were asking us for advice. And I was like, guys, we should be talking about this and let's normalize the fact that no marriage is perfect. No relationship is perfect. A good marriage can become a great marriage. And really there are some really easy communication hacks that we've put into place.
So how can a good marriage become a great marriage?
I mean, it's 100% communication based, at least in our book it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, fights are all about going back and forth. The Cliff's Notes of it is, we have these scripts and we have these magic words that you can say when you're in the middle of an argument.
Could you give us some right now?
Yeah, sure. You kind of almost did do one there. Tell me more is one of the best ones that you can do when someone's finished talking, instead of turning it around and disagreeing with it, make an effort to try to understand it better and say, tell me more.
So when I had said, Penn, I think we should write a Broadway musical. If Penn had said, tell me more. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm really just, you know, yearning for a creative outlet right now. I feel really bogged down with this. If he had followed up with, tell me more about that. Wow. If he just let me spiral and talk, that wasn't even a fight, right?
Oh my God, that would have helped us so much when we were in Vancouver, because I was overwhelmed with work, like had been filming a movie for, you know, 3.5 weeks. And I was like, Mike, I'm feeling like claustrophobic. I don't want to go home yet. Like, I feel like I need to have fun. I need to decompress before I go back home to Nashville and I'm back in mom work mode. And he's like, if you would have said, tell me more, I would have felt so heard and just like, you care. And if I would have said, tell me more about your gun business you wanted to do, instead of being like, that's what you want to do right now. Like, they're about to take our guns away. Yeah. I'm like, are you sure it's the best use of your time? Said Penn. But really what Jana wanted to say.
I'm
going to
start hearing Penn's voice now. Every time, like, I know you want to say that, Penn's voice in that face is just going
to
stick out.
How simple to say, like,
big X next to it.
But like, also, how simple to say, like, tell me more, because you don't have to agree with it, understand it, but you to be like, I would love to hear, like, tell me more. I'm interested.
And then repeat back what he's saying. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, so what I hear you say is you were really interested in starting this business. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so you just like repeat back, and it doesn't commit you to an answer. But I think you had pointed this out in the beginning, is that we are all here in this partnership just to be seen. And my job in this partnership is just to be a witness to his life story. Mm-hmm. My job is to be his PR person. My job is to be his hype man, right? He does not complete me. I do not complete him, but we are partners. We are jumping off this cliff together and holding hands. Mm-hmm. And if we can't show up for each other in that way, and he can't see me, and if I can't really see him, then what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Right? And so that's why our marriage was fine. Our marriage was fine. We did carpool. We would get in a fight. We would laugh at a TV show. We'd have sex. Yeah. We'd wear, and it was fine. But like, to really have those great moments of connection, those really just weren't even happening. So that's why I just recently learned I'm an Enneagram type 1. And that means I'm a perfectionist, allegedly. I know, right?
He's what, like, are you, oh, Penn?
I'm not a type one.
He's the opposite of that.
I'm a positive, ambitious.
Whatever a golden retriever dog would be.
I'm a futuristic positivist.
He's a golden retriever.
I forgot what it was. Yeah.
He's like a messy, happy person. And so when I went into this counseling, I like had a notebook. I'm like, just tell me exactly what to say. Tell me what to say when he comes at me with this, or tell me what to say when I'm feeling, because I have anxiety and I have depression, like when I'm spiraling and he doesn't understand me, like, tell me the words to say. And then that's exactly just like what we wrote in our book. Mm-hmm. At the end of the chapters, we're like, shortcut, just say this. Because there are times when I'm, like you were saying, claustrophobic. That's what anxiety feels like to me. It feels like somebody's standing on my chest. And I have trouble breathing. And how do I explain that to somebody who's like a golden retriever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's never experienced that in his whole life.
Yep.
But through this, he's been able to see and hear me and knows now exactly what I need in those moments. And then I can help him through his.
Yep. 1000%.
I love Tell Me More. I'm definitely going to take that.
Do it.
I've got some more for you if you want to. Here's another one. If you want something, and this includes sex, this includes anything, if you want something, tell the person what you want and say, because, after whatever it is that you want, say, because.
It's like scientifically proven. Yeah. If you give a reason for what you want, you're more likely to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing you can do to go even further is Kim can say why, and you can say because again, and then she can say why, and you can say because again. And after the third because, you're really getting to the heart of the matter at that point.
Yeah. Like, I really, I've been working so hard in this movie. I really feel the need to relax and unwind.
But I did that, and there was a no.
Well, and then he's in, well, and you said, because I feel like we need to connect before we just jump back into our lives as parents, as working people.
And then he said, no. And then what happens? No.
And then you say, I feel mm-hmm. because you keep going this until you understand each other.
That one might be a little harder because I feel like I am semi-direct with my words better. I used to be super passive and I feel like now I'm more on track of being direct.
Yeah. That's kind of a motto in our marriage. It's like mature people ask for what they want. I used to just like, he's like, what do you want for lunch? I'm like, I don't care. Just get me whatever. I'm like, no, just mature people. Like, yeah. Mature people.
Do you have any more pen?
There's a bunch. There is, well,
open it up.
This one takes a little bit of explaining. We have a code that we say called secret contract. Ooh. And it basically means, okay, so you guys have secret contracts. If you've been together for a week, you start building these things. They're unspoken things that you do that you just do. Mm-hmm. Kim just changes the toilet paper. She always changes the toilet paper.
I do the cooking.
She does the cooking. I do the dishes. She wakes the kids up. I take them to school because she doesn't want to put a bra on. I put the dogs to sleep. She lets me sleep in. Most of these are really good contracts. But every once in a while, there's something that you have been kind of tasked with doing that deep down you hate. And that will bubble up into, in Kim's case, like a giant week-long strike against toilet paper that she took to Instagram on and like publicly shamed her husband about not changing the toilet paper.
For a week, there was no toilet paper in the bathroom and he continued to use it.
No, because there was a Kleenex box underneath the sink. And Kleenex, if you like let it sit in the toilet for a little while, it won't clog the toilet. And it's 100 times softer and better than toilet paper. I'm just saying that out loud. And if
some might call you a genius there, Penn.
Thank you.
I'm one of those guys.
So secret contracts work great if they work for you, right? But I was very resentful because I did all the housework. His secret contract, the role he plays, he is the golden retriever in our marriage, right? So he's the hype man, he's the cheerleader, he's the fun guy. But what happens when he goes through some stuff and he needs to be sad? Like he always feels like he has to be happy. Hmm. And so if I know he's going through stuff, like he's gone through some stuff with his parents, I'll just say secret contract. I got this.
Yeah.
You can be sad now. I got this.
And
got it.
And if Kim has had anxiety and she's been up all night, she'll kind of rub my shoulder at about 7 o'clock and say, secret contract, I need you to take the kids. And it's one of those situations where, you know, as soon as she says that, I do this all the time. It's mm-hmm. okay. But for now, I'd like to change it. So
I like that. It's just kind of like the roles like we've talked about. Into. Yeah. It's just, and redefining the roles. About
we never had the discussion that I was always going to be the person who would change the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Like, I never really decided that. It was right. It just happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's a really important one because you start to have resentment if those roles aren't, if it's actually something you don't want to be doing.
That's like laundry for her. She always just kind of happens to do it, like the kids' laundry. And we never decided, but I think that's the one you hold resentment.
It's just acknowledgement sometimes, around. You know, just the, I'm a mom. It's fine. It's part of one of my duties, but it's like, you know, we usually discuss like you're the cook, I'm the cleaner, you know, it's just the,
right.
I mean, you know,
not really. I think,
what?
We don't really discuss it. Just kind of.
Well, like we do. When am I going to cook? I don't cook.
Right. Cause I'm a better cook.
And it works. So that's a secret contract that works. Right. Right. Yeah, you keep people fed and then you clean it. Then
clean up people's mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where can our listeners find all of this stuff? Like you guys on Instagram, obviously the book.
We are on the social medias. We are the Holderness family. And Penn likes to say it's like wilderness, but with a hoe. So
I see you guys. Oh, cute. Follow back. I love you guys.
And then... But this is everybodyfightsbook.com. And yeah.
I'm super excited to deep dive right now into your Instagram because the first thing I see is how I really feel. I'm like, oh, I cannot wait.
It's basically me because I'm an introvert. So quarantine actually wasn't terrible for me. And I just want to sit in my pajamas all day long. This is basically how I really feel.
Love it.
we're getting vaccinated. I'm like,
does that mean I have to go out in public?
I know. I'm kind of cool just staying here, guys.
Because you guys are in Raleigh, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, whenever you guys come to Nashville, let us know.
Ooh. We love Nashville.
Isn't that where the book people are?
Yes, we're a publisher.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of publishing in Nashville, yeah. Right?
So come, yeah. And we're open. So come on.
Come okay, on and we're going to be vaccinated soon.
Hang on. Also, I have to ask this question. Yeah. So you were in Vancouver. I'm putting some pieces together.
Okay.
You were in Vancouver shooting over the winter. That's usually like Hallmark movies, right?
A Hallmark movie?
Lifetime.
Lifetime.
Oh, that's even better. So we did like a bunch of parodies of Hallmark and Lifetime Christmas movies in December.
Yes.
And the reason, here's the reason why.
We love them.
Quarantine and COVID, particularly on my girls, they got really bummed out when Christmas time came around. And so they binged watched all these like amazing Christmas movies.
I love them.
Amazing plots.
No, I want to
really
know.
Really realistic stuff.
Really deep stories.
I don't want to be surprised. I want to know exactly how it's going to end. Beautiful girl meets handsome guy.
That's all Xana is.
Yeah. So
big
city girl
goes back to her hometown.
There's a festival in her hometown.
There's a festival where there's a tree lighting. This is what I want.
There's like one gazebo in all 27 movies. It's the same gazebo.
Don't plot twist me. Yeah. Don't make it a murder mystery. None of that. So we're upset. Actually, so another one of the ideas I threw out, I'm like, I want to write one of those. Like, I'm not an actress.
No,
so
please do.
I want to make it a musical, obviously, but everything I'm writing is, I'm like, there's only one storyline. I can't even get creative with it.
Yes, you can. You have plenty of time. Like Penn says, you can.
Okay. Plenty of time. Lots of time. Lots of free time. Well, we can't wait to watch it.
You guys are so sweet. Seriously, come visit. Thank you for coming on Wind Down. And I'm excited to read your guys' book because everyone does fight. So,
especially us. Penn, Kim, thank you guys so much. We appreciate your time. We'd love to have you guys back on too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, right on. We
appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, bye, guys. You know, as much as we've gotten validated through our book and people responding to it and just saying how much they appreciate it and can relate, I love talking to people like Kim and Penn and just hearing their story and just being like, man, we're not the only ones.
No.
You know?
Yeah. And it feels good. I mean, even like when we talk to people like Liza and having those conversations and reading, you know, other books of other couples that we look up to, that it's like, oh, they have crossroads and they have fights and they have arguments, but yet they're still in love and they're still happy too.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I like that. Do we have any emails?
We do have some emails.
Oh, interesting.
All right. This is from Alexandra. My best friend's husband has become an alcoholic and is an ass to her more and more frequently. They have a 1.5-year old son and she has settled down. Stopped drinking during pregnancy and he didn't. Unfortunately, his problem seems to be getting worse. While he's not physically abusive, I fear for my friend and my godson that he might become that. Their parents all want her to leave him and get a divorce. She's not ready to make that decision yet. As a friend, how do I support her and what advice can I give her?
I mean, I guess this kind of goes with what we've been talking about is there's relationships that can work and then there's the relationships where someone is just an active addiction. And that person is wanting to not believe it. Maybe they're in active addiction and fight through it. But it's just, that's so hard because you're not going to get anywhere. If you were like acting out in an active addiction, it's like, I can't hold all those pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
Like that'd be impossible. So to support her, I would just say that, I mean, she's going to want to try, but don't isolate her, but also don't continue to tell her that she'd be okay alone.
Yeah. I would say, you know, in situations like this, no one from the outside is going to be able to make the decision for your friend. Mm-hmm. So your job as a friend and as godmother to her son is to just ask her questions so she gets to the verdict herself, right? So ask her, why, Like, what are your reasons for staying? What are your fears around it? What are your fears about leaving? And have those conversations and allow her to talk through it and have the dialogue with you, and for her to realize, man, the only reasons I am staying are X and Y. But the reasons, you know, I should leave are, you know, A through Z. You know, there's a significant more amount of reasons. So just allowing them to figure it out themselves as you kind of help navigate them through these questions and ask the appropriate questions is my biggest advice for what I would do if I had a friend in that situation.
Yeah. And if F through P is really bad,
you know, but then you get D through D and G, and then O through, you know, X, you know, I was just shooting from the hip on that one, guys, but you get what I'm saying, Alexandra. Just allow her to figure it out for herself as you guide her.
I don't know though, because C could really be a bummer.
On to the next email. This is from Alyssa. I will be 27 in April. My husband just turned 35. I suffer from PCOS, PCOS, and am lucky if I have two periods a year. Mm-hmm. Because we knew this would be difficult for us, we started to try to get pregnant about a month after we were married. We got pregnant off the bat. Then I miscarried around 6 weeks. Since then, we have not been able to get pregnant. We've started going to a chain of doctors, specialists, medications, and I'm afraid we're getting to the point of IUI and IVF. I feel like my husband isn't as emotional about this as I am. I know he wants children. He just says to trust in God and enjoy the time we have together before children come into the mix. I love that thought process, but I still get sad with bad news. So I wanted to ask Mike, what were your thoughts and feelings as you and Jana were going through treatment? You know, it's tough because as a guy, you know, we have our own feelings, but also, you know, our feelings only go to a certain depth because we don't have as much of the feeling of responsibility as the female does. So I don't want to say that our feelings are the same as y'all's, because they're not at all. And so when Jana was going through that stuff, all I could do, and what I thought my job was to just be as positive as I could without minimizing what she was feeling or the situation. So it's great for your husband to stay positive, but he also needs to allow the space for sadness and for you to feel that. Because if he's just like, don't worry, it's in God's hands. And hey, don't worry, it's going to happen. Let's just enjoy the time together. If it's, that's good. But if it's that continuously, then he's not really giving you the space to have the feelings that you need to express. And that's very important just from our experience through this. And having done that a couple times, it's very important for the female to have that space and for the male to find that happy dance between optimistic and empathetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, good show, guys.
Good show. We got some good stuff coming in the books, coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
That we're really pumped about. So, you know, that's what we want to do. Give you guys something entertaining to listen to and to grow as a person. So appreciate y'all listening.
Bye.
Later.